It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Yes, greetings, Mark.
Good to see you once again. Hey, not such a good subject this week, though, but a subject that we do need to address. You and I both have noticed the suicide rate has really increased in our culture, and to us, we recognize this is the lack of a sound mind for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the primary mental health issue of our time that you're
I
concerned
think
about.
Suicide makes such a huge statement, and professionals are just trying to understand it, trying to unpack it. I think that one of the things that is obvious on the face of it when we read about suicide and about advice for survivors and is that people are really stumped about actually what to do about it. You can't get inside another person's mind. It's like there's two kinds of people in the world. There's people who commit suicide and people who don't understand it. Mm. And so if there's – we're trying to figure out how to address it, how to encourage people. But a lot of times it comes from, we're trying to – we have people that don't understand it that are trying to address an issue. And that's obviously never a good way to go about it.
And a problem as much for the church as it is for – unbelievers.
I found that a little bit surprising. Mm. Well, at first, but then I thought, it sort of makes sense too. I had a statement here by the attorney general, saying that mental health is a defining health and societal challenge of our time. You look around the world, bad news everywhere. I think as believers, if we've got our eye on, the prophecies, and some people are really into it, we ought to pay attention to them. But there's a growing consensus that we're getting time is getting short, and we see the culmination of many things. We see, for example, materialism just going its natural course toward hopelessness. And I think suicide makes such a huge statement. It's the ultimate statement, ultimate hopelessness. And so we would conclude as believers that the loss of hope is kind of like loss of faith. And yet I know Christians who have committed suicide. I've had a number of friends who have committed suicide. Hmm. And, there's always the couple of things we want to address here as we go. Probably going to take a couple shows to do this, but a couple of things. A lot of the material is written to what they call the survivors of the suicide, like the family members or friends or loved ones of those who commit suicide. And that's pretty much just, grief, grieving, getting support, those kinds of things. But, of course, it doesn't help after the fact. It helps you to get through it, try to understand it. Mm. But there's very little out there about really understanding it. It seems like every story is different, apart from the kind of the big picture things, such as loss of hope, loss of meaning, loss of purpose. Then you're challenged by the aspect that Christians have as high a suicide rate as non-Christians. One of the big answers, I think, that comes out, and it's kind of like in the absence of any real answers, one of the big answers that comes out is, well, it's a neurological problem. Of course, that's the circular argument. Your neurology is a response to your beliefs. We've talked a bit about this on the show. Suicide is a behavior which corresponds to an emotion which corresponds to beliefs. And so we have that puzzle of, well, shouldn't Christians have solid beliefs? Some stats here. Yes, there has been a spike.
Number two only besides cancer now.
Yes.
That's an amazing statistic.
And it was a couple of years ago, it was number four. So people would obviously blame things like COVID. But
you're saying during COVID, actually, at least for young people,
there was a drop.
Yeah, there was a drop because like they were at home with family more during that time.
Yeah, it was like a 0.02 or was it more than that? I'm trying to find it here, but it was yeah, it was a significant drop for those, and I think it was probably because of kids being home, more family time, because one of the causes of the disparity that leads to that kind of depression is lack of community. Some of the stats here too. So it's now the number two, as you mentioned, up from number four a couple years ago. That's a 2.5% increase per year. So it's been like a 5% increase over the past 2 years. And that's COVID and post-COVID. We're actually not post-COVID. We're looking for COVID-2.
Trying to bring that one back.
Yeah, trying to bring it back. Currently killing 0.02% of ages. Now, this was interesting. 25 to 34, that's a high one, ages 25 to 34. And also ages 75 to 84. Mm. And one of the key causes that they had had talked about for suicide was drug-related. Mm. And so those are the two groups that are taking the most.
But not recreational drugs, but drugs that are supposed to be there to help their mental state.
And I think the young people are probably also taking recreational drugs. Right. But some of those are also taking antidepressants. But a lot of the antidepressants and things are taken by the older people.
Well, it's so ironic. We watch these commercials for antidepressants, and quite often that's listed as one of the side effects.
Yeah,
sudden suicide.
Yeah. If I tell people when someone says I'm on a certain medication, and I'm experiencing loss of sleep and odd thinking, and I'll ask them, have you read the side effects? Quite often, the answer is no, or I think I've read some of them. And you should read the side effects because I had recently was talking to a gal who wasn't sleeping well and was having all kinds of weird dreams and things. And then I asked her, let's read the side effects. And so it was, hallucinations, insomnia, delusional thinking were some of the side effects of this medication. Mm. So you need to read the side effects. And actually, we want to be able to learn to cope with life without the medications
if
possible.
Yeah, you're not a big fan of antidepressants.
Well, even when the psychiatrist puts a person on an antidepressant, you really need to have it closely monitored, because they do have side effects. They have long-term side effects, and they don't solve the problems. The idea, and what I try to tell people, is let's work on some coping skills, and as you learn the coping skills and you see your symptoms disappearing, let's cut back on the medication. Of course, the doctor's in charge of cutting back. Well, that's not my business, but the doctor cuts it back. And then there's a little bit of stress, and let's learn to deal with that. And then we cut it back a bit more, a little bit of stress. Mm-hmm. Let's learn to deal with that. And so ultimately, hopefully, we're learning to deal with the issues of life. This requires – it's cognitive behavioral. This requires a changing of beliefs that will affect a changing mm-hmm. of emotions mm-hmm. and a changing mm-hmm. of behaviors.
Well, a young person's still kind of malleable with their beliefs, but what about – how do you help older people who've got a lifetime of beliefs? I would think that'd be a harder cookie to
– if they come for help, they're usually more susceptible to changing that. You know, we all, it doesn't matter how long we've been with the Lord, we all have some beliefs in our thinking that don't quite line up. And because of those beliefs, those beliefs are behind the behaviors that we're trying to change. Mm. You know, why do I get mad at someone in traffic, because mm-hmm. they passed me rudely or honked their horn? Why does that threaten me? It has to do with my belief. Mm. About my security and mm-hmm. safety and mm-hmm. my belief about God's purpose in my life and mm-hmm. things like my value and all kinds of things. So we all have beliefs in our thinking that don't line up with Scripture and don't line up with our experience and or how we should be experiencing life. So sometimes – and I do have right now I have a number of folks who are older, my age, mm-hmm. my age and older, Christians – and that struggle with loneliness and
purpose.
With the purpose.
I found that older people, because they're retiring maybe, don't have that job mm-hmm. or whatever it is anymore, and they're mm-hmm. just in a retirement mm-hmm. phase, and real struggles with purpose.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things too that happens, that's true. People, when they, you know, when we're out at work and it's
empty nest,
it's the empty nest. But when we're at work or when we have kids, these things force us to do things in life that we wouldn't normally do. They force us to be more social. They force us sometimes to be more organized. And if we retire and we're empty nesters, we drift toward our weaknesses. So mm-hmm. we're less social, we're less organized. And so we need to have some structures there. But one of the things that happens, too, is as we get older is our personality shrinks. Now, personality is a defense mechanism, and that's all about safety and security. And when we're very young, we're putting together behaviors and beliefs that give us a sense of security and safety. And that explains the differences in personalities. And so now we've kind of got our life model, hopefully, in our later teens and adult life, and so we test that model out, and it works at work, and it works in society, and it works in family to a greater or lesser extent. But as we get older, and we get less secure because we're frail physically, we're frail mentally, and so we're getting less secure. So we pull in from our areas where we've allowed ourselves to be vulnerable. We pull in our personality is more tightly wrapped around us, safety and security. And if I have friends my age, well, their personalities are shrinking too. So one of the things we find is if we're going to have relationships, we've really got to push against our resistance. Mm. And so that takes a bit of work because it's not as easy to make relationships when your community, your genre, everybody's beginning to withdraw a bit. Mm-hmm. So I find that somewhat. You know, veterans suicide is a serious thing.
Yeah.
25 suicides per day. Mm. That's more than are killed in battle. Yeah, you know, we talked earlier about the drop in at the peak of COVID. It was actually an 8.4% drop. And I thought about young people.
But didn't older people though? Maybe it probably increased during COVID. I thought it increased.
I didn't see that. I just saw the drop, and mm-hmm. I think it had, it could have been a drop across, but it was just for that. It was like for 2022, so that 1 year. So I'm not sure.
But we would at least for young people, we would attribute that to what's maybe out of their life for a while, which is a lot of social media, a lot of peer pressure at school. And an increase, hopefully, in family time,
with the family. Because what I heard a lot from a lot of families during that COVID thing was that when they had the kids home, they were trying to find things for them to do rather than just sit on their phones and connect in that way.
Right.
Yeah. So some of the main contributors as we've talked about a little bit before was social media and peer pressure. That's for the young people, and so. Might want to pay attention to that is what we want to stress in this, these two shows that we do here. You want to look for signs of despondency and depression and discouragement far before it gets so serious. It's like any kind of ailment. If you let it go long enough, it's going to require more and more attention and get more serious, or like a car, if you don't change the oil, eventually you're going to rebuild the motor. Suicide, something that is also treated as very unique and inexplicable. And part of addressing suicide is recognizing that that really isn't true. Suicide isn't some one-off thing that God didn't know about and Christ's sacrifice didn't cover and the Bible doesn't have any solutions for it. It isn't like that. It's just... It's some of our beliefs and some of our opinions and some of our lacks taken to their obvious conclusion. And when we come back, we're probably going to talk a little bit about medication too, because that's the flip side of this, and that's always the argument.
That somehow is contributing, I think, to the rise in suicide. Looking at the subject of suicide this week on the Sound Mind broadcast. And if people are struggling with this issue, or maybe they're trying to recover because somebody in their family committed suicide, you offer hope and healing in your counseling services. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. I have a website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you're going to find these podcasts and many more. Office is Kirkland Edmonds, and also doing a whole lot of Zoom these days.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with a word regarding the many faces of anger. The key to managing anger is to recognize it when it doesn't look like anger. Otherwise, we find ourselves resisting anger when it wears one face, but then embracing it when it wears another. From personal experience and professional training, I understand this. I can help you recognize the faces of anger and teach you tools of effective management. Contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com, or call 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, tackling a tough subject this week, and that is the increase in suicide in our society. What are maybe some of the reasons for it, some of the ways to recognize it, maybe hopefully by the end of our second show, some ways to prevent it. And Daniel, you mentioned you wanted to talk a little bit about how you think medication is contributing to this.
Yeah, the question always there's always a large group of people, psychiatrists, doctors, many pastors, I think many pastors and just Christian folks that are persuaded that it's primarily a neurological problem.
That can be treated with chemicals.
That can be treated with chemicals. So there are some things to understand about this, and obviously it's a very, very complex topic and a complex aspect of the topic. But and I tell people these mood-altering drugs don't just go – they're not discrete. They just don't go after your bad thoughts. They go after your thoughts, period. Mm. Or they just don't go after bad mental experience. They go back they go after mental activity. And so there's a cost to all these medications. Now, the idea, the argument that it's depression is, you know, quote unquote, a disease and it's, it has to be treated with the medication, I think that that is largely due to the fact that in the absence of any real answers for it. But here's the thing, and I don't mean to, by the way, I don't mean to say if people are on medication that you've taken the wrong way. We're not all wired the same. And, you know, if you have flu symptoms or if you have a severe headache, most people take some kind of medication until the symptoms are relieved. And there are times, I think, when people have severe enough depression or anxiety that if they're taking a medication that can help them calm down to the point where they can get help for with their coping mechanisms, that that's a good thing. But I think a very, very small percentage of the medications are really necessary. That is kind of my champion here is Peter Bregg, and I think he's still around. But if you want information, you could go to a website, peterbreggen.com. I'm sure it's still there. I zip in and out of there from time to time. peterbreggen.com. Peter Bregan, longtime psychiatrist, and has a way of explaining things in terms of, you know, if you're going to use medications, you want to try to get off of them as soon as you can by learning these coping mechanisms. So this is coming from a psychiatrist, but not everybody feels that way. Not all doctors and psychiatrists agree with that, and they believe that, you know, this is primarily a physiological problem. The difficulty is, though, that my physiology or my neurology can change with my beliefs. If I believe every loud noise is life-threatening, then when I go outside and hear loud noises, I'm going to have a lot of cortisol and adrenaline in my system. Mm. That's based on my belief system. And so it's a, kind of a circular argument. So what I like to do is let's rule out the logical things. If a person needs a medication, fine, but let's rule out the let's rule out the thinking and the emotion and as a cause of the emotions, and not just assume that it started with neurology, because that's rarely the case. It is, so the question is, well, is it mind or brain? Is the issue in my mind or in my brain?
Is it spiritual?
Is it spiritual
or physiological?
Or is it physiological? Mm-hmm. And I'm just of the persuasion that these aren't things that God didn't think about. These aren't things that salvation didn't cover. When the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and when the Bible says things like, be anxious for nothing, but in all things with thanksgiving, let your request be known to God, and the peace that passes understanding will keep your heart. I believe that's true. And I've experienced in my life depression, deep depression, depression that would cause you to question your faith in God, and then realize that, you know, it's a matter of focus. We pray for peace and joy and understanding, and God's going to give us those things. But we need to be patient, and there are things to do. God's doing things in my life, and I, you know, rather than focus on the downside, I can let my request be known to God, and then I can say, okay, then while I'm waiting for an answer to that prayer, what has God got for me to do? So a lot of times it's a matter of focus. Some of the characteristics that come along with this that we're recognized is, of course, depression, which is almost a non-statement, because that's like saying that, you know, the problem with a cold is that you cough, or the problem with a cough is that you have a cold. Depression, obviously, suicide is the ultimate expression of loss of hope. Mm-hmm. And loss
of
purpose.
Think the whole area of loss of hope, despair, that word, when someone is in despair, they can see no hope, no way out. I think a lot of people who struggle with addiction reach this point. Mm-hmm. They get very despondent about nothing's ever going to change. Mm-hmm. And then suicide seems to become mm-hmm. a legitimate option.
Yeah.
To release them from this.
Yeah. And that's a trouble. One of the problems with the medication is that people rely on the medication as solving the problem. And so many times it doesn't solve the problem. And then they're left with, well, then there must not be an answer. And if they've started from the argument that, and you know, one of the things too about deep depression that leads to suicide is lack of hope, but isolation, isolation, people, and self-absorption. Mm. People who are headed toward deep depression and suicidal ideation, one of their beliefs is that their feelings are unique. Other people don't understand. Problems can't be solved. And basically that. I'm alone in it. Mm. People don't understand it. It's not like they
Nobody
think.
Else has
different.
This struggle.
Nobody else has this struggle. It's all unique. All deceptions. People have those things, but at different levels. And the reason a lot of the people don't suffer so severely is that they find meaning, purpose. One of the things, lack of hope, lack of meaning, but I think it's worth distinguishing between a worldly view of something like hope, which is a verb, and our biblical view of hope, which is a noun. You know, we have a hope. It's not I'm hoping that it will sunshine tomorrow, or hoping, but I have the hope, and the hope is our hope is Christ, of course. Lack of meaning. In life, or lack of meaning of life. I think the secular way of approaching this is you need meaning in your life. So let's find some meaningful things to do. Mm. Let's find some meaningful activities, things mm-hmm. that will make you feel better about yourself. Mm. Instead of, or in lieu of, the bigger picture, which is what is the meaning of life? What is life? Why are we here? And I think that's a lot of where Christians fail from top to bottom is, you know, just there are so many things that we don't understand, and we need understanding. My people perish for lack of understanding, lack of knowledge. And so from the pulpit, from our Bible study groups, our prayer groups, we need deeper understanding. One of the things I want to get into, I'm not going to be able to do it today, but we certainly will do it in the next show, is I want to address, what can we do? What can we do as people in the community with people of deep depression and suicidal thoughts? What is it that we can do that's effective? And also, for the person who's depressed and is beginning to have these kinds of thoughts, how do you stop having it? How do you stop having these thoughts? So we talk about some prominent Christian people who have committed suicide, and maybe some of the friends that I've had, Christian friends that I've had who have committed suicide, and see if we can't unpack some of that.
Okay, big subject. We've just started to kind of scratch the surface. We'll continue on this discussion next time. People, though, are intrigued. Maybe they're having some of their own doubts about life, and they need to be pointed in the right direction toward Jesus, either personally or as a family, or maybe recovering from this issue. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. Also, the website is BibleBasedCounselor.com, where you can rehear these podcasts. I have an office in Kirkland and Edmonds, and I'm doing lots of Zoom for people for whom that's convenient.
Okay, back next time with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor here on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.